From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast today. Partly sunny with a high near 52 degrees. Tonight, cloudy and 40 for a low. Tomorrow, a slight chance of rain, but otherwise gradually becoming mostly sunny through the day and a high near 54. And Wednesday, a chance of showers with a high near 52 degrees. Up to 48 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our Monday focus on the COVID-19 pandemic. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on with us again this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we are trying to keep people abreast of a lot of things. There is so much going on with COVID-19. Somebody asked me the other day if we could talk about it less. A part of it is I think people are kind of hitting a kind of a mental fatigue to the past 9 months.
I think there's a lot of fatigue about going on, and I'd like to talk about it less. But with the number of cases and the number of deaths we're seeing, I think we have to.
Yeah, and in Douglas County, the new numbers are out. Let's talk about the numbers from today, just released a few minutes ago.
So our number of cases is down today, but we sadly had another death. And so we're seeing that the cases that really spiked around Halloween then went on to hospitalizations, and now we're starting to see some deaths related to those.
So 15 more people with new positive test results, a presumptive case, the death today of an 89-year-old man whose death actually was about a week or so ago. It sounds like it was just relayed to Douglas Public Health Network late yesterday or this morning.
So I think some older people, when they get COVID, are faced with just an absolutely wrenching decision. Do they get intubated, sedated, and in the ICU away from family, or do they choose to get some oxygen and comfort care and die at home? And in Oregon, many people choose that with many different diseases. So, for example, with cancer, there are many people who choose hospice at the end. The death is still related to the underlying cancer. So if you have pancreatic cancer, get hospice and die at home. We don't say you died of hospice. We say you died of pancreatic cancer. And certainly with COVID, people who get COVID from the hospital then go into hospice, we consider this a COVID death.
And so that is a large number of deaths in just the past few days.
It is. It is related to several of the large outbreaks that we had earlier in the year. Early in the month of November, and then also to some outbreaks at some nursing facilities.
Now, at this point, are we seeing deaths or cases coming from Thanksgiving, or is it a little too early for that?
We have started to see some cases come from Thanksgiving, and they are just as we predicted, that people have a Thanksgiving gathering. They seem well at the time, and later get diagnosed, and it's spread it to one or more people. This has affected a bunch of businesses in town. It's affected some police departments in town. So it's as we expected. Now, the good news is it does seem to be less than we would have otherwise predicted. We thought there were going to be hundreds of these cases, and instead there's only been dozens.
Obviously, though, looking ahead towards Christmas, people are trying to find anything normal, and is there concern that that's going to lead to more of that just with some of the Christmas-type gatherings?
Oh, absolutely. So we know that Christmas and Thanksgiving are the two biggest times of the year for people to travel. And it's a good thing that people travel. But this year, we're asking people to really cut back on the travel because it seems to be travel that spread this around. So in our Thanksgiving cases, some of the cases were local people who gathered, but in other cases were people who gathered from other areas in the country. And while we think we have a lot of disease, we have a low rate of disease in comparison to each of the states around us.
Now, having so many deaths in the past week, is that the largest number of deaths in a week-long period?
Yeah, this has been our most deadly week. The week before was our week, or 2 weeks before was a week with the most cases. So again, cases, gatherings are followed a week or two later by cases. Cases are followed a week or two later by hospitalizations, and deaths follow a week or two after that.
So at this rate, are we likely to remain in the extreme risk category for a while?
Well, for us to get out of the extreme risk category, we need to get under 234 cases in a two-week period. This week has been better. We've had fewer cases, but we're still over that looking over the last 2 weeks.
What about the state? Talk about the number of cases in the last week. Maybe what areas are getting hit the hardest?
Well, throughout the state, it's bad. There are some places in the eastern part of Oregon, which previously did not have a lot of cases, that are now seeing cases. The Portland, Multnomah County, Clackamas County, Washington County, and Marion County have just had high levels of disease for many months now. Lane County has had a lot of cases over the last few weeks. And Jackson, which had many cases a few weeks ago, is now starting to quiet down a little bit. However, Lake County, which previously didn't have very many cases, is now having more. So it moves throughout the state, and it seems to be related to super spreader events. And again, we had had zero super spreader events before November. In November, we had five super spreader events. The hope is that in December, we'll go back to zero.
And I think on Friday or maybe Saturday, Klamath County had a very large number of cases in one day. It has pulled back down now, but that was a surprise as well.
Yeah, so what happens is it really only takes one super spreader event to really cause tremendous problems in a community. So, for example, our Halloween party resulted in over 20 cases. A church party resulted in, again, over 20 cases. And then our two nursing home outbreaks have each had more than 20 cases.
So how are, when we look around the nation, what about the hotspots?
Well, the hotspots in the nation continue to be Texas, California, Florida. We're also seeing still lots of residual disease in the upper Midwest, including Minnesota, South Dakota, and North Dakota.
And some of these states, I scan a lot of different websites looking for various types of information. And it seems like the states really vary in their level of restrictions, and that doesn't always seem to correlate with the number of cases they have.
It really doesn't. So there are places here that there are places that have very few restrictions in the country. They actually tend to have the highest rate of disease. So people who've been listening for a while know that we've looked at similar counties that are similar to Douglas County in Idaho, South Dakota, and Georgia, all areas where they have fewer restrictions. And they've just had so many more cases and so many more deaths than we have. So it really is so hard to see. So, for example, Twin Falls County in Idaho has had 7,000 cases and 100 deaths. So while we think our 25 deaths and 1,000 cases is tragic, you know, they have many times more. You go to, for example, Pennington County in South Dakota, they have about 9,000 cases. So nine times as many cases and 89 deaths. So a lot more disease and a lot more deaths. And their government has chosen to have fewer restrictions.
Interesting. This will be probably something in a few years up the road people will look back at and compare data. But right now we're just trying to kind of get through the thick of it. What about in the world? Periodically I hear about a country that has just an astounding low number of cases.
Right. There are a bunch of cases in the world that have an astoundingly low number of cases. So, for example, Australia and New Zealand go days without any cases. You know, when you think of that, that's pretty amazing. Taiwan has not had a death in months. And so there really is a huge difference among countries. I looked at a data looking at the number of deaths between May 15th and December the 4th, and they range anywhere from zero to many thousand per million. So the difference is striking between these different countries.
And is this just kind of the way the virus worked, or is it what some of these countries did way back at the front end?
Well, it's what these countries did back at the front end. They had very effective use of quarantine. They had very effective use of early testing. And the whole population got together and really kind of decided that this is what they were going to, that they were going to attack it as a country. So Australia, you know, which has 25 million people, had 7 cases yesterday. New Zealand, which is a little bit bigger than Oregon had, let me check today, they had 1 case. And so while Oregon had 2,000 cases, they have 1 case. They've had a total of 25 deaths in the whole thing. Now, they do have the advantage of being an island nation, but they also have the advantage of everybody sort of rowing together.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, going to take a break. Back with more on COVID-19. Interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1 on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Michael Asher, superintendent of the Douglas Education Service District, will get an update on what ESD has been doing and how they've been coping with all the things going on and the challenges in education in the past several months. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us as well. From the scientific side, what are some of the new things being learned about this virus?
Well, there are a couple of things about the way it presents. We're beginning to see that some seniors' first symptoms of COVID are going to be delirium. That is, they're just not quite with it before they have cough or fever. The other thing that we're seeing is that in kids, they do seem to spread this in their family members. There's been some discussion about whether they spread it, and if they spread it, how much they spread it. And they seem to spread it just about as much as everybody else. The biggest thing, though, is about the vaccine. And so I think we're going to have 2 vaccines approved to treat this. Both vaccines appear to be over 90% effective. They don't appear to have any great long-term side effects, and they do seem to give protection that lasts at least a few months. So that is far and away the most exciting thing that we've learned recently.
So tell us how the vaccines differ from one another.
So there are many different kinds of vaccines out here. The 2 vaccines that are coming now are messenger RNA vaccines or mRNA vaccines. They are actually quite similar. This is the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine. They have slight differences in the lipid that they use and slight differences in the storage. But both are over 90% effective, and both have had some local side effects when people get the vaccine, but no bad overall side effects. In addition, there's another 100 or so vaccines that are somewhere in the pipeline, but I think they're all quite a bit off.
Now, a lot of times with vaccines, you have a much longer period of time. Some people have asked, is there, while everybody wants to have this move quickly, for the most part, is there a danger to rolling these out too fast?
Well, there could be a danger if they didn't take adequate safety steps, but I've been really carefully following that, and I believe they have taken very excellent safety steps. Here are a couple of the steps. One is the use of a large group of people get the vaccine, and then a large group of controls. So there were over 10,000 for each vaccine in the placebo group and the vaccine group. In addition, they very carefully followed these people for at least 2 months afterwards, and will continue to follow them longer. And they very carefully followed the symptoms that they had along the way. So really all of the safety things were done, but just in a compressed time frame.
What about potential side effects from either of these?
So again, there have been no long-term side effects identified. There has been some fever, achiness, redness at the injection site, and some muscle aches after people get the vaccine. But that's not uncommon for vaccines. So anybody's had a tetanus shot or a flu shot or a shingle shot knows that you sometimes feel feverish or achy the day you get the shot and sometimes the day after.
What about people that maybe should not get the vaccine? Are there any categories? Somebody asked about that today. For instance, pregnant women, for example.
So we don't have the full list of contraindications, but we know the 3 contraindications now will be. The first is that people have had COVID in the last 90 days because we think they're probably immune. The second group would be pregnant women because this was not studied in pregnant women. And the third is kids under 18 because, again, it wasn't studied in kids less than 18.
And is that a norm to not study it in younger folks?
So in this case, they didn't because they wanted, because remember, kids don't get very sick with this. And because kids don't get very sick, they were a lower risk population. And they're going to have some time to get there. Because again, in the vaccination scheme, it's first going to be healthcare workers and then people in nursing homes. Kids make up almost none of either of those populations. And so kids probably will not be getting this vaccine until May or June. And I expect by May or June that they'll have done the studies that they need.
You hear a lot of call in Oregon and other places for reopening schools. People are seeing a lot of the side effects from distance learning and families trying to juggle schedules and remain employed. How do you balance that desire to have kids back to in-person learning? But then there's the risk to some school employees who might be older or have health conditions as well.
It is a very, very difficult balance to strike. I probably get 20 emails a day, half telling me that, oh my God, you should never open schools, and then half saying you should open schools no matter what. And so as a society, we're way apart from getting any kind of consensus about that. The problem is that when there's lots of disease in the community, there's going to be a lot of disease at school, and then kids will be on again and off again with going into school. When there's a low level of disease, school should be one of the first things to open.
And we've got metrics set up, and right now most districts are just remote learning. Some districts like Roseburg hoping to go back to K-3 in-person learning maybe a few days after the break. But again, it's all dependent on the number of cases and the test positivity rate in the state. And those numbers have not looked the best for several weeks.
Right, those numbers have been really problematic for a while. However, you know, yesterday and today and the day before weren't that terrible. So we're hoping we could bring it down where we can get back in some in-person schooling.
Now, I've also got the question about and looking forward into, you know, January or beyond. How likely is it that, for instance, high school kids will get to play sports this school year?
It's going to be hard to know. You know, again, predicting is really hard, especially about the future. And so predicting where we'll be in January is really hard. We could be low. You know, if we as a country really did the things we've been asked to do, we could have the rate of disease low in the springtime so that kids could go back to school and sports. On the other hand, if people continue to gather without masks, go to work when they're sick, we're going to have a really long, terrible winter.
And then that puts up there the question as well, if the vaccine rollout is going well and a significant number of people are vaccinated, if I can get that out right, is it possible to have maybe smaller, but have some in-person events in some form this summer, outdoor concerts, things like that?
Well, we're hoping that the first group of people get the vaccines, people in nursing homes and healthcare workers, will get the vaccine in December and January. In January and February, we'll be able to start vaccinating essential workers. In February and March, we're going to be able to start vaccinating high-risk people. And then by April and May, we'll start vaccinating everyone. And if really we're able to pull this off, have enough vaccine, and the vaccine works as it's expected to, by next summer, we could really have this pretty well under control. And that's our goal. So we're not asking people to hold off forever, but we're certainly asking people to hold off for a few months.
And it definitely, as people are, you know, even looking ahead, people that went through the last cycle with not having events and different community activities, there's a lot of hope there, but I think a lot of people are being very cautious looking ahead.
Yeah, I think people are being cautious looking ahead. And I know people have a lot of pandemic fatigue. It has been a very long time. And I can tell you, I've been here every day. So it's been a very long time and a very difficult pandemic. But we're asking people to hold on for another couple of months until the vaccine is here and we're able to get this better under control.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, an in-depth look at COVID-19 locally and beyond. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.